Queen's University faculty have voted overwhelmingly in favor of a strike mandate as negotiations between the Queen's University Faculty Association and the university continue. CUFA represents about 1,400 faculty, librarians, and archivists at Queen's University. Representatives of Queen's and CUFA have been bargaining since May, after their previous collective agreement expired at the end of June. After more than 40 days of bargaining without a new agreement, CUFA held a strike vote between August 11th and 14th. 83% of voting members supported strike action if necessary. CUFA president and professor of electrical and computer engineering, Karen Rudy, says this sends a clear message.
83% of the members who voted yes to a strike, and we also had a really excellent turnout for the strike vote. So our members are, and it was a fairly short window we had to organize the strike vote. So we made a decision to hold a strike vote, and not long after we had the strike vote in the middle of summer when lots of people are away. So I would say this is an overwhelming message saying that they are not happy with the state of bargaining.
CUFA says its priorities include greater faculty participation in key academic decisions, fair workloads, job security and pay equity for precarious faculty, and salary increases that keep pace with inflation. One example of participation in decision-making CUFA is seeking to have codified is inclusion in appointing senior leadership.
For example, like the provost or a vice provost or a dean, when any of those people are hired and there's like a search committee for that or an appointments committee, one of the things we're requesting is that at least 50% of the members of that appointment committee come from CUFA. And CUFA is the bargaining, we bargain for all professors, librarians, and archivists at Queen's. So if you think about it, essentially, you know, a dean or the provost, as an example, they determine in many ways a lot of the key academic decision-making at the university. And we're saying that since, for example, professors are the ones in the classroom and carrying out the mission of the university, teaching and research, as our librarians and archivists, we should have, at the very least, you know, 50% of a say in who is actually being appointed to make those decisions. So that's an example of a proposal, let's say, that we've put forth, having 50%, to which we've had no movement back. So it's not like the university said, well, we don't like the idea of 50%. How about 40% of your members? So in theory, there could be zero faculty members on such a committee. And I'm not saying the university would do that, but that's exactly what we want encoded. We want it encoded that it should be for these key decision-making committees, we should have a voice at the table.
Another specific issue CUFA is raising is the working conditions of term adjunct faculty. Rudy says some term adjuncts don't have the same job security, benefits, or access to office space as other faculty.
Continuing adjuncts have a kind of job security. Term adjuncts do not. So the thing is that because term adjuncts are really depending on just whatever courses they are handed to teach, and it could be one, it could be five, it could be, you know, seven courses, however many, their livelihood as professors at the university is very precarious, for one thing. There are rules around when a term adjunct qualifies to teach a course a second time, and when, if they've taught courses, you know, enough times, they qualify to get continuing adjunct status. So part of the equity there is that term adjuncts should be, you know, paid at such a rate that it's not like there's an underclass of professors at Queen's and it becomes advantageous to just have, you know, the underclass teach because we don't have to offer them, for example, term adjuncts do not have, are not part of our pension plan. They do not necessarily have the same medical benefits. They may not have an office. So if you're trying to do your job at Queen's as a professor and you're a term adjunct and students want to meet with you after class, you might not have an office on campus. That's not something you have to have. So that's the kind of equity we mean for those more precarious members.
CUFA is also pushing for higher salary increases. Rudy says the union's current offer is below inflation and below settlements at several other universities.
In terms of compensation, I can tell you that for other universities like Brock, Laurentian, Toronto, Nipissing, there's a number of others that have negotiated collective agreements in the recent, like in around 2025, and those agreements go till, let's say, 2027, 28, 29. So projecting for the next three, four years, they all have compensation at a rate of 2% or more per year, with many of them being 3 and 4% increases. And if you take the rate of inflation, 1% a year, so the current offer on the table is 1% in the first year of our contract, 1% in the second year, 1.25% in the third year. That is completely below, you know, inflation and completely below what all these other universities have been offered. So that's not a reasonable offer.
In a recent release, CUFA says discussions with the university have remained respectful, but have, quote, largely ceased being collaborative.
It has been respectful and collegial, but essentially, you know, we are quick to turn around our counterproposal. So if the university makes a proposal, we read it seriously. Our bargaining team, sorry, when I say we, I mean our bargaining team, to respond back and to say, you know, to give reasons if we reject something, here's why we can't agree to this, here's our counteroffer. And it's that same thing that's not, it's happening a little bit with some things, but it's not happening with everything. It's not that they're coming back quickly and saying, okay, here's why we can't agree. It's just a kind of no on many things, like no on the number of people you want, the percent of people you want on, let's say, a dean search committee, not a reasoning why. Or no, you know, one of our proposals was that any decision around what's called personnel decisions, so a decision of whether you should be, you know, fired or promoted, should be made by a human and not, for example, an automated like AI or some automated system. And I think they did agree in principle, like, of course, we would have a human make that decision, but have not been willing to have that encoded in our collective agreement.
The university's last public statement, issued August 6th, says negotiations remain professional and constructive. The university says both conciliation and a strike vote are common parts of the collective bargaining process, and that there are periods of progress as well as more challenging discussions. Queen says the parties are currently working with a conciliation officer and that the university remains committed to reaching a fair, renewed collective agreement through respectful dialogue. A strike by CUFA members would be the first in Queen's University history. Rudy says that the union hopes it doesn't come to that.
We have never had a strike of CUFA members. And, you know, it is my hope that we won't have a strike. But as our strike vote has indicated, our members are willing to go on strike if the executive authorized it, you know, if we got to a point where it was not really possible to get a fair and reasonable collective agreement.
For students, a strike could mean disruption to classes and university operations. However, a strike would not be in the very near future. For now, CUFA says it intends to continue bargaining with more dates scheduled into September. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.